might be able to come because I don't know.
It's also saying, I'm gonna cancel my previous engagement, so I can't.
Today's word is.
Yeah, I like saying to the BBD.
We're gonna start in Romans 5.
Romans 5. It's a new song.
Is it ice machine plugged in?
Yeah, would you unplug the ice machine? Going back to 4:22 a second. Therefore, it was in, talking about Abraham. It was in his faith was imputed to him for righteousness. And that was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Now, it's hard for us to believe, but we were in open, our minds are in open warfare with him. And so when he was delivered for our offenses, he is still delivered for our offenses as long as you revert back to your senses for operating. And so that state of being, that's why repentance is a constant. It never stops. It's always turning from self, always abandoning self. And so that can never, ever stop. And the moment you think that you're right, the moment you think that you're judging somebody else down, the moment you think that there's something you haven't forgiven, then again, you become the enemy. And it's almost impossible for us to see that, but if you know your own mind, you gotta know it. Because your mind is always towards fixing and saving and redeeming you, as opposed to others. You understand that? What?
That's pretty cool because it's always trying to take the place of God. God redeems, God justifies, God saves. But we try and do the same thing with this God. He tries to save ourselves, justify ourselves, protect ourselves.
Or do something good.
Do a good deed, do anything. It's just it's almost like the anti-God.
Now, starting in Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The idea, the word peace just means the absence of againstness. And I promise you this, that if you have any integrity at all, your mind will always provide againstness. There's something that you are against. Something that you are in war with, something that you despise. And that againstness has to be replaced by his peace. And the only way it's replaced by his peace is by your abandoning of yourself. Now, we live in a society in which everything, even the religious world, everything is about you. We live in a society in which every ad that comes on television, every ad on a billboard, is trying to get you to do something for you. That's why the scriptures say, they will always speak well of you when you do well unto yourself. So this is a constant issue.
What did you say about integrity and againstness? You said if you have integrity...
If you have any integrity, you will understand that you always have some againstness. Now, again, that's why this is... Therefore, we are justified only by faith. And faith is never justified in the flesh. Remember, he's manifest in the flesh, but he is justified only in the spirit. And so that's the critical thing here. We now being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have peace with him, then you have peace with everything else. And this sounds like it's a real simple concept, but it's almost impossible for you to remain in that state, because your mind will always come up with something to do, something against, something, something.
I'm acutely aware of this, that something will happen and I will be at rest, at peace, everything's perfect. And it's like this thing can't stand that. It sometimes will last maybe for a day, but then I know what it's doing. It's looking around for something to either worry about or be upset about.
Amen.
It has to have something to chew on, some bone to chew on.
But why is the question, and that's the interesting question. Because you always have to be important enough to have something to worry about, to have something to be concerned with. That's a biggie.
That's the wrong drink.
It's what?
That's the wrong drink. You know, we're always looking for the right.
Yeah, the right.
Give us that personal identity and satisfaction.
I have a sense that it's kind of like a little child who can't stand to not be the center of attention. Has to do something. It's almost like when I'm at peace.
I wonder why you would think
that. The thing is ignored. The thing has no value. It's of no importance whatsoever. So it has to find some little dance to do so that I'll worship it. That's the sense that I have.
That's too easy. I'm not going to pick any for that one. But it's, yeah, that's right.
It's just that simple.
Does that come from a fear of death? Fear of separation? I'm not relevant.
It's a good one, because in Hebrews it says, we through who fear of death have been subject to bondage our entire life. Now nobody's, I don't know, maybe you are, somebody, I don't think I've ever been afraid of death on any kind of a, because it was a concept that was way over there. Every once in a while something might happen and you get afraid of death. But in Hebrews, it's a constant. You're saying, you who through fear of death have been in bondage your whole life. But the fear of death, you as a, you've heard me say so often, as a hunk of protoplasm, you see death as separation from something that you desire to be with. And so that death, the fear of death, is always causing you to elevate yourself, to put yourself forward, to be concerned with yourself, to have... to always have to have something, you know. It's, you've seen people that they can't be quiet. There has to be constant talk. There has to be constant putting themselves forward. And if we'll study that more later, but it is through the fear of death. You as a being, as a hunk of protoplasm, you see death is separation, and you see, and therefore that's why we get all this sexual weirdness. Because sex is life. Death, separation, sex, life. And so you have all these crazy fantasies and things and thoughts that are all through this incredible seminal thing that's below your consciousness even. You're hardwired for self-seeking. You're hardwired. Your mind is hardwired to constantly have you as the subject of your sentence, whether it's positive or negative. And that's why the only thing that can happen in us is that we have to see through that, to see that by one offering, what we've been perfected forever. that by his sacrifice, everything in the universe is perfect. But we can't stand that. We've got to have something that we can do, something that we should do. Amen?
I was thinking about we're justified. We're justified by faith. But that's a noun, not a verb. We're justified by his faith, not our use of it as a verb, doing something so we can be.
Yeah, again, we've been taught that faith is something, is a commodity so that we can get something. And that's the opposite of what faith is. Faith is this constant understanding that by one offering you've been perfected forever, that his life in you is sufficient for everything, that wherever you look you see the perfection of his holiness, that God is all and in all. But we can't stand that. We've got to have something.
Are there actually people for whom this can be positive? You said it doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative. Are there really people for whom it can be positive?
Of course.
I can't conceive of that.
That's positive every time you get a spiritual heart on. It's a positive for every time you think I got a job to do. I'm important. Well, okay. It's positive during that time.
Well, yeah, maybe for a moment, but okay.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Remember, the only time the word hope is used in the New Testament, it's used in regard to his resurrection in you. We know he was resurrected 2,000 years ago. But his resurrection took place in you. Now you are the temple of the living God. What else is there to concern yourself with? And now we get to the fun part. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Do we really do that?
I love people's tribulation.
No, in your tribulation. We glory in tribulation also.
Well, we had an hour and a half yesterday in our Bible study where I think everybody did. Because we were looking at the purpose of being between the straits and the purpose of suffering, and blah, 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 blah. And it was wonderful. I think we did glory for an hour.
We glory in tribulation. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. The only reason that you experience tribulation, again, is to find out if there's anything in the universe that can take you off that finished position in Christ on the mercy seat. Now, and that's all that's going on in time and space. Is there anything that can take you off the mercy seat? If you believe like Keala does, it's, Lord, give me patience and I want it right now.
And I've been saying that for about 15 years. It's dead serious. Dead serious.
But patience can't be that. And again, God doesn't give a hoot about what your outward religion is. It's meaningless to him. He cares about the religion that's going on in you, in your mind. That's the only religion that he sees. He doesn't care what label you put on yourself. Now, this should make some of you very nervous. Because most of the religion that goes on in you as the temple is all about how you can enhance yourself. How you can avoid tribulation. How you can use your own talents and your own ideas to come up with some solution instead of faith. Faith is the last thing that your mind wants. It wants the faith that's taught in religion today. It's the faith to get stuff. But that's not faith. Faith is the certainty that at this second, everything is exactly as it should be. Faith is the certainty that wherever you look, you see God is all and in all. You see the perfection of His holiness everywhere.
So faith is the finished work of tribulation?
No, the cross is a finished work of tribulation. You can't speak of faith.
The faith and tribulation are inextricably.
Right. I mean that it's the same way. Remember the analogy that we are like a hunk of quartz, and inside that quartz is a vein of gold. Everything that has to transpire is so that gold will be first be revealed and then assayed to see whether or not there's any impurities. And that's all that's going on in our lives.
What you just said was cool and familiar. We talk about living by the faith of Christ, but then you were just talking about what that is, you know, seeing everything is finished, knowing that God is the author of all things. That's the faith that is produced by tribulation. That's a patient waiting with no
problem. What's dying? That's your death through all that tribulation and finally recognizing you can't do anything. Yeah. You empty yourself and there's nothing left. And all of a sudden, in an instant.
So a man has two sons. One, he gives him everything he wants, whatever he wants it, and never disciplines him, and never corrects him. And the other side, he disciplines. Which one is he giving a gift to? Which one does he love?
Well, that's why most parenting is the opposite of what parenting should be, because parenting should be a preparation for this mystery. But especially if the parents have guilt, then they will spoil their children by giving them what they want when they want it.
For themselves.
Or they will beat the crap out of them. It's because the same. It's really the results are the same. You know, you heard me say, no one knows how to be a child, and certainly no one knows how to be a father, and everybody that's written a book about how to do it is you don't know. Nobody does. And the best we can do is to provide an environment in which they feel safe. The child is safe. And it doesn't matter whether you're a jillionaire or dead broke. If the child doesn't feel safe, and safe to explore all of the things that are going on and all of the ideas without judgment, then you're not parenting. You're just trying to you're trying to create a child that you can eat, so you can glory and get pleasure and sustenance out of their accomplishments, or that you feel badly and if they do something wrong. I mean, in other words, you're really literally eating your children for your sustenance and satisfaction, or they become bitter because they haven't met your standards.
Both.
Well, it's always some a little of everything, a little of both. What? What's going on back there?
Yeah.
Huh?
All my kids.
No, We glory in tribulation because we know that tribulation worketh patience. What is patience? It's steadfast endurance. It's test, and experience worketh. I mean, patience worketh experience. And what is experience? It's in the Greek word that's used. It means it's tested integrity. What did you just do to that nice pen?
Carol got a bargain on pens.
That's not one of my insurance.
And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. The end result of tribulation and experience and hope is the words can no longer affect you of who told you were naked, who told you needed something, who told you should be different than you are. Each one of you are exactly as you should be. Now that's a biggie. There's nothing left to do. You don't have to jump through any hoops. And more than that, no matter what it is that you've gone through, let's go to Isaiah 26, because you won't believe me.
Isaiah what?
26. A significant percentage of our lives before this mystery of God is manifested is spent in regret. That's big. We regret how we've disappointed people. We regret how we haven't, whatever. Regret our children, we regret our everything. And then we come across this mystery of God. Chapter 26, verse 10. Let favor be showed to the wicked, or the wicked one is what it really says. Yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. But they shall see and be ashamed for the envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Now, if you want to just spend an interesting day, take your life and all of your memories and all your regrets and all the people that you have something against and all the disappointments and test it against that verse. For thou hast wrought all our works in us. Now why did he do it this way? This is crazy. Why did you have to suffer all those things? Why did you have all those disappointments? For one reason and one reason only, so you would fit in the mystery of God. He has wrought all your works in you, and you have no idea, nor is it any of your business, how you fit into that mystery of God.
That should be like the greatest news ever.
It is. He's wrought all our works in us. Therefore, how can you ever again have anything against anyone? How can you have you must forgive from the heart everybody and everything, because he has wrought all our works in us to bring us to the point where we can be of value to him.
Who can judge God?
Who can judge God? That's what it says in James. If you judge your brother, you're really judging the law, which means you're judging God.
What does wrought mean?
Brought forth. Did.
It's like wrought iron. Worked, created, hammered, pounded.
All right, now listen, this gets better. Thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. And what are these other lords? Fear, ambition, whatever it is. You got 1,000 of them. Other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. But by thee only we will make mention of thy name. In other words, we're not going to have any add-ons to his name, because he's wrought all our works in us. And even those other lords that had dominion over us, they were there for us to be under a schoolmaster. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter whether it's Allah, or it doesn't matter whether it's a daddy that beat you. It doesn't matter whether it's your own disappointments that have really lorded over you. It doesn't matter whether it's illness. Other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead. They shall not rise. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made even all their memory to perish. Now that's what freedom is. Unless that has taken place in you, you have no idea what freedom is, because you're still haunted by these other ghosts and lords. Because and the only reason you can be haunted by them is if you have regrets. Remember the man in the wilderness that fed Israel for 40 years. That manna meant every desire of the heart. Every single one, unless there was guilt or idolatry, and then the manna was bitter. And if it was true for the manna in the wilderness, how much more is it true for the true manna, which is the Son of God? Doesn't mean he's going to give you all your harebrained ideas, which weren't, they're just there to bring you away from the mercy seat. But if you can see, if you can hear this, every desire of your heart will be satisfied. As I've said so often, this place and the way I live, I think I'm an idiot. In fact, by my mind standards, I know I'm an idiot. But the mystery is, it satisfies every desire of my heart. There's nothing else I'd rather do. There's no place else I'd rather be. Now, how can that be? The conflict between what my mind thinks versus what my, whatever it is, wherever it is, the deep inner man, that every desire of my heart is satisfied. When I was on the radio, I interviewed over 200 of very prominent Christians, everybody from Billy Graham on down. And somewhere during the interview, I asked each one of them, what would you like to do next? What do you really want to do? And everybody had some harebrained thing that they, well, I'm blah blah blah. And I said, then your desire of your heart isn't satisfied. Oh, but we have to do all this stuff. Then the desire of your heart isn't satisfied. And then I said, what's the gospel? And I got 200 different answers. Well, it's the good news for man. No, it isn't. The gospel is terrible news for man. It's good news for those that have failed, for the poor. But that's why they had to change the gospel, to make it a gospel of prosperity. So that they can attract modern man. The only time Jesus said the two things that he hates in the book of Revelation, he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam was mixing with the world system and the political system. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans, Nico is just the Greek word for success. It means those that preach success. And yet that's all we see. The doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. But that doesn't satisfy anybody's heart. It gives them some purpose for a minute because they can go do something.
It's the difference between faith in. It's the difference between faith in Christ and faith of. If it's faith, if it's my faith, then I need books, I need guidelines, I need
purpose,
seminars,
a new Jesus.
All right, anybody have any response?
Yeah, I've after coming here for the last few months and stuff, I hear the message of the fact that it's finished and that you don't have to go save anybody or evangelize or witness or show everybody how smart you are. But how do you get over, once you know that, not hating the people around you that are all doing it? Because now I've gotten into a new problem. Instead of trying to do everything for God, I hate everybody that is.
Do you have any do you have any children?
Yeah.
Do you hate your children?
No, but it's...
That's all that is spiritual children. And so just love them.
I know, but it's hard. My flesh is so mean.
Well, that's not a surprise to anybody. Just love them. You don't have to try to convert anybody. God isn't so bereft of ability that he needs your talents. He just needs you.
He's wrong.
And see that just love him. You and Harry are just alike.
It's easier said than
Well, you know, I sit here, I'm feeling a real kinship to that, but all kinds of scriptures are popping into my head that speak directly to that. I mean, the thing about, it's not that we first loved him, but he loved us while we were yet enemies in our mind. And
there's nothing we have we didn't receive.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, it's just...
you got to just see it.
And also, I keep learning over and over and over, getting slapped in the face, that everybody's doing the best they can. Everybody's walking in the light they have. And I mean, I have to learn that over and over and over, that the biggest jerk in the world is doing the best they can.
As we are.
Yeah, you don't have to. There's no comparison. The only, say not even in your heart who shall ascend into heaven, for that is to bring Christ down. And say not even in your heart who shall descend into the abyss, for that is to bring Christ up, so you could be saved by your own works. And so when and you say, well, I'm not really saying that. No, but you're judging them down.
Your rights have been violated, man. That's what causes that anger. You see that wrong that they're doing.
Well, it's natural you do it because it's a system that failed you.
Yeah. Yep.
But just step back and in thankfulness for everything, then all that just melts away. Harry used to get so mad at me when just tell them going to hell. No, I don't. That's not our business. Well, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's. I can glory that Christ is preached.
This also reminds me of the so-called Great Commission. The fact that, I mean,
there will be an effect by you just walking through the world.
Do you know that, and just make it clear, that the Great Commission isn't a command, it's in the aortus tense, and it simply says, as you go into the world, if you believe, you'll make disciples. It's not a command to do. It's a what is if you believe. If you believe, you will speak. If you speak, you'll make disciples. You don't have to worry about doing anything about it.
You know, an interesting comparison, if Oli had hated you 4 months ago, same thing.
Yeah.
Where's that?
Or you. But I did hate you.
This morning.
That's hilarious.
Getting a little light here.
I hated you too.
Take it, big guy.
I'm in that here.